time to school. There's still seats up here in the front, and the younger children can come up to the front. I'm going to start by singing number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Number 40. Jesus loves me,
this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Number 10.
Jesus, Savior,
I'm
This morning, the Lord Jesus would like you to come. His arms are outstretched. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, it's His joy to save. It's His joy to save boys and girls and teenagers and adults, dads and moms, and grandpas and grandmas. A lot of people in this room have come and accepted Him, but how about you? Have you done that yet? Let's do it today. How about another one?
Number 16.
And by the way, if there's a song that's not in this hymn book, like "Wide, Wide is the Ocean" or "The Wise Man," or one of those ones that you like to sing back home, we can sing those too, okay? She said number 16. Whosoever
hears shall shout the sound, and the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joy.
message that we're going to share with you this morning, right here in the Chicago area, it's good for people all over this world. They need to hear it too. And they might not understand English, but they need to hear it in their own language. Because the gospel goes out to everybody, doesn't it? And it's so exciting that we're living in a time where through radio and through the internet, the gospel is reaching people that it's never reached before. And people all over this world are getting saved. But what about you? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Let's sing a couple more. Do you have one? Yes. I thought you had your hand up. Did you?
25.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep, being kind. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be past, being kind. Calendar with me right now, but if I had a calendar and I showed it to you, you could tell me the day in the year that you were born. When were you born?
October 29, 1997.
He's got a birthday coming up. When were you born?
October 17. She just had a birthday. And you could tell me when you were born, but if I gave you a calendar and I said, here, does anybody have a calendar? Here's a calendar right here. It's good, thank you. And I were to give you this calendar and I said, here, tell me when you're going to die. Could you give me a date? How about you? Let's ask one of the older ones. I mean, not older ones, but... You know what? And I couldn't tell you the day that I'm going to die, but you know what? It's good to be prepared, isn't it? Because if I die, and I don't know Jesus as my Savior, and if you die, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. And you will go to hell. It's very serious. We'll sing one more. And by the way, if I walk around, I'm a teacher and I like to keep an eye on my students, so I will walk around. What number? He's pointing to 24. Oh, this is a great song. Thank you. We know there's a bright and a glorious home away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. But will you be there and die? Will you be there and die? Will you be there and die? Where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell, but will you be there and die? From every kingdom of earth they come to join the triumphal bride, singing worthy the Lamb that once was slain. But will you be there and die? Will you be there and die? Will you be there and die? Where all the Lamb that once was slain, but will you be there and die? If you take a loving Savior now, who for sinners once did die, when he gathers his own in that bright home, then you know, sometimes you come to a conference and you say, I wonder if so-and-so is going to be here. I wonder if Jason's going to be here. Or I wonder if Tim's going to be here. What about when we get to heaven? Will you be there? It's good to get to a conference. It's so nice to have you here. Oh, it's so much better to be there in heaven. Yes, it is. Okay, we're going to say our verses and then we'll ask the Lord's help. Each week we have a memory verse. Was there anyone here who was able to learn it? And who'd like to go first?
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119:130.
Very good. That was awesome. How about another one?
The entrance of thy word giveth head, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119, 130.
Super. Another one. Even with my glasses, I still have a hard time seeing sometimes.
The truth of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
That was done so nicely. Now we're going to ask one of these big boys over here to do it.
The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119, 130.
The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119, 130.
Anybody from the side of the room? Okay. Don't worry, it won't bite you. Okay, let's just ask the Lord's help and then we can talk a little bit, okay? Lord Jesus. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about, who can tell me? We were talking a little bit about, tell me something that you remember from yesterday. And I'm putting her on the spot, but we were talking a little bit about light and darkness, weren't we? And you know what, the verse that we learned this morning? It tells us that the entrance of thy word giveth light. And that's why it's so important that we read our Bibles. Because as we read it, the truths that are in this book, they help us to see. And they help us to make the right choices in our lives. Now this morning I want to talk about stop, drop, and repent. You're going to say roll. And that's where I got the idea. This week in school it's been fire prevention week. It's a good thing to be prepared in case of a fire, isn't it? And what do they teach you again? Stop, drop in, and roll. Yeah. So I wanted to come up with something simple, something that you could remember. I wouldn't want anybody to be caught in a fire. I wouldn't want anybody to get burned. Would you like to get burned? No, we like to be prepared. And I know some of the teachers had their story with Clifford the Big Red Dog and talking about the importance of getting out of a house that's on fire. The Bible says, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come. And so I'm going to build upon what you've been learning in school this week, or this month. And I'm going to keep it very simple. We're going to do it three things. Stop, drop, and instead of roll, it's repent and believe. Can we remember that? Stop, drop, repent and believe. Can we remember that? Stop, drop, repent and believe. Yeah. First thing that we need to do is we just need to stop. You know, we're kind of like the gingerbread man who, after was created by his owner, turned his back and ran off. Didn't he? And he wanted to get as far away from his makers as he could. And there was a way that seemed right unto that gingerbread man. And he ran and he ran and there he went and there he went. And finally he got tired out and finally he came to the water. And what happened? Who was waiting for him? Yeah, there was a wolf or a fox or something like that. And was that wolf or fox really there to help him? No, he really wasn't. And he listened to that wolf and fox, didn't he? And what did that wolf and fox tell him to do? Told him to get on. That he was going to help him. Well, you know what? That gingerbread man who was running away from his maker got on the back of that fox and started going out into the water. And what happened? I like to use stories that you're familiar with. What happened? He was out in the water, and what happened?
He drowned.
He didn't drown, but he did die.
The wolf ate it.
The wolf ate it. As he got out into the water, the wolf kind of said, "You need to come up a little bit closer to the top of the back of my head because the water's getting up to you." And the long and short of that story is that that wolf or that fox ate that gingerbread man. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that story so illustrates our lives running away from God. And there's Satan ready to help, or so we think. But the end thereof are the ways of death, and he didn't make it. But getting back to stop, drop, and roll, the first thing we have to do is stop and listen to the message. And the message comes from God's Word, the Bible, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." And yesterday, Mr. Tony was telling us about a God who created this world and who loves us, who in the form of his Son, Jesus, came into this world and died a real death on a cross. Real nails put in his hands. Real spikes put in his feet. A spear put in his side. Suffering there for 3 hours. Because he loves you and me. And we sometimes sing in Sunday school, "Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Oh, he saved my soul." And it's so exciting to be able to tell you that he wants to save your soul. We need to stop and listen. We need to stop running from God. Are you running from God this morning? I know you're sitting in your chairs, but are you trying to run from him? Can I ask you a question? Has Dad or Mom been talking to you about the Lord Jesus? And you've kind of been like, "I really don't want to hear that." Or Grandpa and Grandma have been trying to tell you a little bit about Jesus, and you don't want to hear that. That's kind of like we're running from God. What about the young people in the back? Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a father, a mother, a loved one. And you're trying to get away. You just won't stop and listen to the message. This is a message of good news, a message of hope, a message of deliverance. They want you to be free. Stop and listen. How wonderful it is just to stop and hear those words. "The Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." Stop. The next one is drop. That's kind of a hard one to understand, because what drop really means is we really need to, as it were, come to the foot of the cross and bow the knee. To bow the knee and say that Jesus Christ is Lord and that I need a Savior, we need to take that low place to realize that we're sinners. To realize that because of the lies and the stealings and the calling our brothers and sisters' names and disobedience to our parents, we're sinners. And we need a Savior. Because if we try to do it ourselves, we will not do it. The Bible says, "All have sinned and come short, and you will come short." We need to bow the knee to Jesus. Have you done that? The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you bowed the knee? Stop, drop, and repent. To repent, really to say that, you know what? I've been wrong. Has there been a time in your life where you said, you know what? I am a sinner. I was born that way, and so are you. Have you come to the realization that I'm a sinner? A helpless sinner. And nothing that I do will save me. And I need someone greater than myself to save me. And then to say, Lord, I believe you died for me. Please save me. Have you done that? We're going to keep going, but we're just going to take a minute, and I'm going to ask you, if you haven't done so this morning, you can do it right now. You can just bow your head where you're sitting. And as I pray, you can say the words yourself. Let's accept Jesus as our Savior this morning. Let's not put it off. Life is short. It's very brief. There's no guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. I still have more to say, but let's just close our eyes right now. And if you haven't done it, would you do it? You can say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. And I deserve to die for my sins. But I believe you died for me. And I accept your gift of salvation. Amen. You could even say thank you. It's that easy. And it's so wonderful. So wonderful. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're part of the winning team. You're part of the family. So many in this room have done so. And it's wonderful. Mr. Totems was telling me about how his daughter led someone to the Lord recently. Oh, it's wonderful. She's now part of the family. And that's what we want you to be. You know, with Fire Prevention Week, Stop, Drop, and Roll, they do that because they want you to be safe. And we tell you the gospel because we want you to be safe, but then it doesn't stop there. Once you're part of the family, we want you to go out and tell other people. Let other people know the good news. Let other people know that there is a Savior who's looking down in tender love and who wants to save boys and girls and wants to save teenagers and dads and moms and grandpas and grandmas. Will you tell someone about the Lord Jesus this week? Or would you maybe give them a gospel track? Or maybe some way at school? Maybe let somebody know that you're a Christian? You know, I had a student this week. She was typing in my computer class, and she had drawn a nice picture. And they were to type three sentences about their picture, and she said something to the effect that she likes God's creation. It's very beautiful. I think she's a Christian. That's just a simple way that you could let your teacher know. And you know what? I printed that off. I gave it to her teacher. And now her teacher gets to see that too. Little ways like that that you can let the good news, that you can tell other people so they can stop, drop, repent, and believe. I'm going to kind of talk to the older ones too, and I want you to listen too. There's so much talent and potential in this room. And we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. We all have a role to let them know the good news about the gospel. And maybe you've had some ideas come to your mind about sharing the gospel. Maybe in your community or with your friends. And we need to do it. You know, there was a fisherman. Let me back up. There was a professional boxer, and I can't remember his name. He was running along the waterfront, and some of you may have heard the story, and he saw a fisherman fishing. Raise your hand if you've gone fishing. Even the adults can. Okay, some of the kids and the adults gone fishing. And he was running, and he saw this man. He was fishing. And he was doing better than me. He was catching fish. And he was catching big fish and small fish. And he was catching them rather quickly. But he noticed something very unusual. That this man who was catching these big fish and these small fish, he'd catch the big fish, and he'd throw the big fish back into the water.
and he only kept a small fish. Now that's very unusual, isn't it? Because when you see pictures of people and fish, do they have a picture with them with just the small fish? Or do they have a picture with themselves with the big fish? And yeah, I caught a fish that was 21 inches long. We like to show off the big fish, don't we? And this is very unusual. So he went up to the man and he said, "Sir, why are you throwing the big fish back into the water and only keeping the small fish?" He said, "Man, I hate to, but the big fish are too big to fit into my small frying pan." That's the story of us. Those God-given ideas and talents that come into your mind about doing this or doing that for Him, we say, "You know what? I couldn't do that. Go out and tell this person about Jesus, or go out and do this. I couldn't do that. That's too big for me." And so we throw that idea away. And are content for the small things. Content to put the Sunday school papers on the chairs. Content to vacuum the floor. Nothing wrong with that, but we settle for the small things. And those ideas that God gives us, we throw them away. Or we put them on the back shelf. "I couldn't do that." But God needs us and wants us to tell the message. Can we do that? Can we reach out to others and let them know to stop? To stop what they're doing, to stop running from Him? To stop going their own way, the way that seemeth right unto a man but ends in death? He says, "Friend, you've got to stop. You're going the wrong way." And you have to bow the knee. We have to admit that we're sinners and that we have to repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, we need everybody to do that. Not just Mr. Tony and not just Mr. Hendricks and not just Mr. Smith and others. We need everybody to do that because you have friends that I'll never meet. Did you know that? Who's your best friend?
Nicole.
I'll never meet Nicole unless she's here. Is she here? We all have a circle of influence, and we all need to let our light shine. We all need to let our light shine. And maybe you're sitting here and you're older and you says, "You know what, I haven't been doing that." You need to get back into the game. You know, sometimes you drive down the road and you see a car that's off on the side of the road and it's just parked there. And cars are just going right by, and here's a car, it's off to the side of the road and it's parked. And sometimes, could you imagine someone coming up to the driver of that car and saying, "Here, I've got some jumper cables. Can I give you a hand?" And they say, "No." No. But so many of us, sometimes we go through life and we just park off on the side of the road. We don't get into the game like we should be. And I shouldn't say it's a game. It's really a battlefield. But we need every member of the body of Christ participating. We need every member, including the young boys and girls, to tell the message, stop, drop, and repent, and believe. We need everybody. We need everybody. We need you to tell the news. We want our friends to get saved, don't we? You want your friends to get saved, don't you? You want them to know Jesus as their Savior? I'll close by telling the story of the starfish. A lot of you have heard it, but it reminds us that each one of us, how old are you? Even 5 years old can make a difference. The man down in, I think it was South America, was walking along the beach, and off in the distance, he saw this figure of a man, and man was moving around, and as he walked closer, he noticed that this man was bending down and picking something up and throwing it into the water. That caught his attention. And as he got closer, he noticed that he was still doing the same thing, bending down and picking it up and throwing it into the water. And when he got close enough, he saw that this man was picking up starfish that had come in. And he was picking them up and he was throwing them back into the water because, you know what? If they were left there on the beach, they would die. And they needed to get back into the water. And our friends, if they don't hear the gospel, they will die in their sins and they will go to hell. And we want them to go to heaven, don't we?
And the man says, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? There's millions of these things. Lots of them. You're wasting your time. Why are you spending all this effort with these starfish? The man didn't say anything. He bent down. He picked up another one. He dusted off the sand and he threw it back into the water. And he said it made a difference to that one. I want you to go back to your schools. Back to your places of employment. Stand strong for Jesus. The one who loved you. The one who gave his life for you. And tell him the message. And we can remember it this way. Stop. Drop. Repent and believe. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that this morning. Okay? If you want to talk, I'd be happy to talk with you. I know your dad and mom would really love to talk with you too. Let's do it tonight. There's no greater joy than to hear that you got saved. The last gospel outreach we did in Roseville, a middle school student came up to me afterwards and he said, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. It's a wonderful thing. Will you tell your parents this morning if you've gotten saved? Let's close in prayer.